Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Pin Chasers is your home for Thursday night bowling, unlimited bowling every Thursday night at Pin Chasers, $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl. The details are all at pinchasers.net. Free shoes, as always. It's available at all three Tampa Bay area locations. And that's just one of the daily specials at Pin Chasers. Check them all out, including two on Sunday, which includes their famous breakfast bowl for $8. That includes breakfast. Pinchasers.net is the website. Pin Chasers, more than 60 years serving the Tampa Bay community.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And welcome to another edition of the Sages Podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Rock Riley. We do have Lee DeKemper back from visiting Curly's grave out in Los Angeles. He was there covering the Bucks, and the Sage is here. Ira Kaufman, how are you? How does it feel? You're here at One Buck with the 2-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sage.
Rock, the Kemper went out and he saw Curly's grave, and then the Bucks went out and put Jared Goff at 6 feet under. How do you like them apples? It's 3 days later, Mr. Riley. I'm still not over the shocking upset of the NFL weekend number 4 was administered by your Tampa Bay Bucks. Let me hasten to add, I am 0-4 picking Buck games this year. Rock, I believe you have a better record than me. Congratulations. And we'll see what happens. We'll make our picks later in this broadcast. But they're 2-0 on the road, Rock, going into the Big Easy.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast and all of the Sage's work at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Always new and pre-owned vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. Come see their famous nationwide lifetime guarantees. Oh, it's just so beautiful. BillCurryFord.com in Tampa, right off of Dale Mabry.
You're right, Rock. And you know what? While the Kemper was in La La Land.
Yes, Holly Weird.
Taking in all the sights, and he's going to give us a couple of highlights of his trip. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings in Oldsmar, and this week I'm going to be in historic Ybor City.
Nice.
7th Avenue, home of the Columbia Restaurant, and all kinds of goings-on. And Lee, it's going to be a Sunday afternoon of Buck football at Ybor City. You never know who's going to stop by. You never know if the Kemper's going to show up.
I don't think so.
And he's going to New Orleans.
Yeah, I know he is. That's wonderful. Let's welcome back from Los Angeles. How was it? How was the trip?
He went out there on Thursday, Rock. He went out early.
Well, I went out there on Thursday mainly because I wouldn't have Friday. Usually on Saturdays, I'm in my hotel room working. All our Bucks fans on the road, hey, let's go out for drink. I'm always working on Saturdays.
And speaking of that, there were a lot of Buck fans
on
the road.
There's a group, I'm not familiar with them very strongly, but they're called the Buckaholics. Whenever the Bucks are out on the West Coast, they come out in droves. For example, a couple years ago when the Bucks played at San Diego, the last year that the San Diego Chargers existed, they took over the stadium. It was like 40% Bucks fans. They're all behind the Bucks bench. And when the Bucks resumed the lead in the fourth quarter, if I believe right, on a Levante David pick six, they just took over that stadium. It was as loud as Raymond James.
All I know is, Rock, the Kemper had a nice brisket sandwich at halftime.
Yeah.
And then that stadium, so old, the Coliseum,
yeah,
I think it predates Jesse Owens, that he had to go down through the stands to get to the freaking locker room.
I was right.
He almost lost the 3.5 pounds going down the locker room.
Yeah, you have to get to the locker rooms, you have to walk through the stadium. You walk down to the concourse, and the concourse is maybe like a third of the way up of the stadium. So if you think of the Coliseum as monstrous bowl. So I was a third of the way up, and that's the only way you can get to the locker room. You have to go down to the field, which, of course, they let me on the field.
And then you have to walk back up, Rock.
I'll talk about work. I've been wanting to say this for a couple of days. We had to go down there with 5 minutes to go in the game. So the last drive where the Bucks took over, I was on the field for that. But I really couldn't see it because myself and Dan Lucas, of all people, we were lined up against the wall right in front of the Rams cheerleaders, me and Lucas.
I'm surprised the Kemper knew there was a game going on.
Is there anyone besides me that would prefer that view?
And that was one raucous locker room, I could imagine.
I could imagine we couldn't go in because it was so small. The Bucks media relations—they
wouldn't let people in the locker room.
It was so small. Yeah, it was so small. And Ali Marpet earlier today, you know, we're taping this on a Wednesday. Ali Marpet earlier today, he referred to the locker room, the Bucks locker room at the L.A. Coliseum. Let's just say it rhymes with grass.
Really?
Wow, it's
really?
A broom closet.
Yeah. All right, I want to get more stories from Lee, but let's start off. 55 points, Jameis Winston, NFC, Offensive Player of the Week. He's not turning it over. We're seeing Ronald Jones. There's a running game. The offensive line is doing a nice job.
You threw out some kudos to the offensive
line. So, and I didn't even get to
forget about Evans and Godwin.
I know it, and I didn't even get to Sue and Shaq Barrett on defense. But overall, Sage, is this a fluke? Are they building with something? You're here today. What vibe are you getting from this team as they get ready to take on the Saints in New Orleans?
They look a little bit more mature to me, Lee. That's a good sign for Buck fans in that they're not getting too excited about one win. They got their eyes on the prize. The prize is the gumbo shop in New Orleans on Sunday, walking into that Superdome where they won last year in the opening week. Shocked the heck out of everybody in the NFL by beating Breeze in a shootout.
And 3 years ago they won there.
Yes.
Jameis' rookie season.
They have won in that building.
Jameis even talked about it today.
As noisy as it is
in New Orleans.
Now, look, you guys know me, and I'm known for this, and I'm going to continue to enhance my reputation in this regard. Rock, let's not go crazy.
No doubt.
And here's what I mean.
No doubt.
They got some things to straighten out, and one of them is, I believe Jared Goff missed 3 or 4 wide open guys for touchdowns. And they scored 40 points anyway. Now, one of them was on a pick six. I understand that. But the guy just completed 45. Nobody in the history of this league has ever completed more passes in a game than Jared Goff just did against the Bucks.
That's unreal.
He tied the NFL record set by Drew Bledsoe. I believe it was 94. That's a long time. So there is work to be done, and if Bruce Arians, if you're listening to this, Coach, you better double down on that it's fixed when you were talking about the secondary. Of course, it's not fixed, and here come the Saints.
We don't know if it's fixed or not. The reason why I say that is maybe Arians was correct that it's totally fixed. Remember when Dante was a pup and you took him to get fixed? That's why I think he's been neutered.
I mean, and then he peed all over the house. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, they sure peed all over the field. I'll
you know
tell
what?
You, that.
You asked Arians, are you okay with the 40 points?
Oh, that's a great line.
Said, as long as we had 55, right?
That's a great line. It's funny, but it's also semi-serious because you ain't getting 50. So I'm trying to provide a little perspective.
Yeah, what Ira is pointing out is something I always say. Winning is the greatest perfume. If the Bucks would have lost by 1 point, that secondary would be getting killed this week, the whole week, be getting killed.
And considering Shaq Barrett's going crazy with the pressure, that makes it look even worse that you're giving up all those yards and completion.
With that pressure, where would this defense be? It'd be terrible. Now,
and we're not Debbie Downers here.
No, but if you don't point out something that's really, really terribly wrong, you're irresponsible. We love what James did. We love what the offensive line did. We love what Godwin did. We love what Evans did. We love what Shaq did. We love what Sue did. But that doesn't mean there's no problems. A reader brought this up on Twitter, and I'm just going to throw this out here. Jared Goff, you know, 517 yards.
Yes.
Good for him.
Yes.
Horrible for Bucks. Could have been worse, easily.
He threw 68 damn passes.
Yeah, because of pressure. He was forced into bad passes. Had 4 turnovers. The last one, a fumble, led to the loss. That was the turning point. That sealed the win.
Yes.
What do you think the reaction would have been? Now, the reaction right now is, Goff had a great game, 517 yards. Oh, he had a couple bad plays, but he had a fantastic game. Imagine you flip the script, and that was Jameis with those 4 turnovers, one of which sealed the win for the Rams. Jameis wouldn't be able to go home at night.
He would be considered a culprit. Lee, to be fair, Rock, Jameis Winston's playing at a winning level. He's playing winning football. That's all Buck fans can ask for. Yes, he's thrown a pick 6. That's 3 in the first 4 weeks. But you know what? He's doing a lot of good things too, Rock, and he's helped by the boys up front who are working their buns off. And look, we're not going to knock an offense that, a team that just scored 55 points. We're not going to knock the offense. Now, The Saints have a very good defense. The Saint defense may be as good as the Rams, maybe even better. They just shut down Ezekiel Elliott on national television. Very difficult to do. He had 18 carries for 35 yards. Why do I know that, Rock? Because I got him in the damn fantasy league, and I got my ass kicked because of him. Thanks, Zeke.
Let's look at the murderer's row the Bucs are going through. When you talk about running backs, starts with McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, who I know he only played one half, 20 yards in one half.
Then you got Gurley.
Now you've got who? You've got Mr. Kamara.
And then you're going to get McCaffrey again.
What really makes me sad about the Rams hanging 40 points, Gurley was a non-factor. Yeah, he had a touchdown. What, that was his biggest gain was 8 yards? What's kind of galling about, here the Bucs are, they let up 40 points, and yet they're arguably their best player. You shut down.
The flip side of the Buck defense against the pass, they are playing fantastic run defense. Number one in the league.
All right, overall here, where we are, I'm watching, we're listening to Arians, we're seeing the team, the confidence. You're in the locker room, both of you guys, and you're walking around opposite the big media scrum.
Yeah.
What sense are you getting, though? You know, we're allowed to watch a little bit of practice, but that's just, they're warming up. You can't get too much of that. What sense, though, are you getting from this team right now, Sage?
Well, Lee and I focused a little bit on the offensive line today in the room, and I get drawn to those guys anyway because they tend to be very analytical thinkers.
Yes.
They're smart guys. I don't want to generalize, but Lee knows what I'm talking about.
And plus, Donovan Smith will talk to him. He's hacked me for some reason.
Donovan Smith doesn't want to talk to
Even though I've defended the guy probably more than
There's a long line of guys that shut down the Kemper. We understand
I saw you over there by Marpet and waiting around for a long time. But anyway, go ahead.
Marpet, he's very careful. He doesn't want to get ahead of himself.
Right.
You know, and Lee and I are saying, you know, I talked to Kappa. I said, man, what a job you did on Donald. We don't hear your name, Kappa. It's the best thing an offensive lineman can ever hope for. You never hear your name. And he goes, it's 1 week. Let's see what I do this week. I like that kind of attitude. It's not going to their heads, Lee. In the past, and Izbitz was very good on this stuff, they'd win a game, maybe even week one. They beat the Falcons. Then they go out the next week on the road, get their ass kicked.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's 40-7 going to Arizona.
Right.
You talk to Dotson or something, and he goes, that win went to our heads. We weren't ready to play. I'm not getting that sense. It looks like, and maybe that's coaching.
It could be.
They are looking for consistency, but you know what? They didn't put themselves in an early hole, and that they deserve credit for.
I'm going to toot Ira's horn here. No, not that way.
I don't need any boosting, DeKemper.
Ira, each week, every Wednesday, he's on with Chris Russo, the Mad Dog, Russo,
yes.
Sirius XM Radio.
Channel 82.
3 weeks ago. Ira gets on there after the Bucks beat the Panthers, and they're talking about the Bucks game, Russo and Ira.
They're going to play the Giants.
Yeah, and Russo said something that I thought was very profound and turned out to be very accurate. You know, Russo said, this Bucks team, let's see how they handle winning. They, in the past, have not handled prosperity well. The key word, prosperity. I thought that was dead on. And what happened? They go out and they fall on their face in the second half against the Giants. Boom. Same old Bucks. What I was talking about. They'd have an impressive win, then they'd fall flat on their face the next week. And if you watch some of the videos that the Buccaneers.com puts out of Arians that in post-game, his post-game speeches, he always says after a win, let's stack them together.
Stack them up.
And that's what needs to happen. This is a pivotal game. Granted, it's the fifth week of the season. I get it. It's a little too premature to say this will launch the Bucs to a playoff drive or vice versa. But this is an important
win.
That's
what Rock says when he takes the family out to Burger King. Back them up. Back them up, baby.
No, but you know what? You're right, Lee. And even you could say about this year, they lose, they win, they lose, they
That's
win.
That's why I'm 0-4. That's,
okay, well, let's. But look at Jameis Winston. He's the offensive player. The offense is so good. You hear what he keeps saying? I got to keep doing it. All right, what about Stroud asked about the two wide receivers. A lot of times wide receivers are divas, and I'm sure you played with some of them. It seems like Godwin and Evans are not concerned about their numbers. It's more about the winning. Now we're seeing the running game. So, look, I'm not here Joe Homer, but I'm just saying the mindset, the hard practice, they were ahead. We're here early in the week. They were ahead of their schedule. There's still no more music. That's why I think, Lee and Sage, it's a little bit different. I just get a different feel right now.
Well, Arians is an experienced head coach, Lee. Dirk Cutter was not. Never done it before.
On the NFL level.
On the NFL level. Arians' experience is shining through right now. Keep your eye on the ball. Stack them up. They haven't been able to do it, Lee. They don't have two successive wins this year. And the last time we really felt that the Bucs were rolling was during 2016.
Yeah.
Cutter's first year when they had that five-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. And they got to 8-5. They were in control of their playoff destiny. Mm-hmm. Now it didn't happen. But that was consistency. The defense was really playing well at that time.
The key loss was at New Orleans.
They lost to Dallas and New Orleans back-to-back. And those were good teams. But, you know, can they do it in New Orleans? If they can, they will be tied for first place in the division after 5 weeks. Three of them on the road. They'll be 3-0 on the road, including two against division opponents. This would be very impressive, Rock. Now, the Rams game was very impressive. They hit the Rams right between the eyes at the beginning of that game.
Yes, they did.
And somebody told me before the game, days before, the Rams very well could be looking ahead because they're going to play Thursday night against the Seattle, their big division opponent. Then they're 10-point favorites. They're not going to take the Bucs seriously. It looks like that's what happened, but I'm not going to take any of the credit away from the Bucs. Boy, they came out blazing.
I watched some of the press conferences on the Los Angeles side. It looked like they were shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. From Sean McVay, from Jared Goff.
From Aaron Donald.
They were shell-shocked. Lee, you were there. Arians was saying, well, this crowd in New Orleans, they don't go away. They took the crowd out of it.
Yeah.
Was it a raucous crowd? Well, in the beginning or not too much? Was it more of an L.A. crowd?
The only sporting event I've ever been at in L.A., so I don't know how you exactly define L.A. crowd. For the size of the crowd, I didn't think it was that loud. It was not quiet, but it wasn't loud. It took a while for the Rams fans to wake up. The Bucs fans were louder until about the second quarter when the Rams, like, uh-oh, we got to get going. When they came back from 21-0 down.
Got it.
Then the Rams fans got vocal. And it also could be that typical L.A., they come in late.
Right.
I don't care what they blame it on. They just come in late, which is what happened. I don't know. I guess you guys saw the video. I took a video, and I had a pan shot of the entire stadium.
That was nice.
With 4 minutes to go before kickoff
and
then 5 minutes to go before halftime. And it filled up quite a bit as the first half went along.
Now, Rock, I want to bring this up for a second, and I'll start off the conversation. The great news, Shaq Barrett is beyond words. 9 sacks, 4 weeks, two forced fumbles. He tipped the ball for another interception against Goff that you keep forgetting about, but he was involved in that turnover. Here's the flip side. They got 11 sacks as a team. He's got 9 of them. Mm-hmm. How about a little help?
Yep.
How about a little help?
Where would this team be without Shaq Barrett, honestly?
You know, now Vita Vea is not a guy I expect to get 11 sacks on the season, but he can get 5 or 6. What about Nassib? You know, he didn't play a brilliant game on Sunday. I'm looking for more. And if I don't get it, eventually they're going to find ways to focus in on Mr. Barrett. These teams aren't stupid. It could happen as soon as Sunday. He's going to be double-teamed on every play.
Well,
now, he might be good enough to shed some of those blockers. He's a heck of a pass rusher. But other guys have to step up.
I got
to
ask you something, Ira. You don't think Sean McVay was sharp enough to double-team him at times? Sure he was.
Especially coming off a 4-sack game against the
Giants. Yeah, so what Ira's saying is, where is the help?
He's not going to get 36 sacks.
It's amazing that we're complaining about even wanting more.
Yeah,
and it's still not enough.
Yeah,
I know.
And that shows you how bad this defense is, if you think about it. It's bad enough that they're getting lit up for 47 points and how many completions, 517 yards. But then the only guy getting any legitimate pressure is Shaq Barrett. I didn't sit there and focus specifically on Shaq Barrett. If I would, I'd probably have a better idea how they were double-teaming him, how they were playing him, or maybe Bowles in a chess match with McVay.
They move Barrett around. They're doing it. Bowles is doing a nice job of moving him around.
But, Lee, you don't think that you're not seeing pressure from Vita Vea?
Well, there's
and
some pressure,
Sue,
but it's
I'm
one thing getting
some
pressure, another thing getting to the quarterback.
But everyone said they're knocking him off their mark a little bit.
Mark.
You
That's
know what
important.
I mean?
And they were doing. I guess my definition of is a definition of pressure is quarterback's bleeding on the ground. That's my definition of pressure. So no one else but Shaq was really doing that. But yeah, they were hurrying. They hurried Goff in a couple throws. One throw, he hit somebody in the arm, and that created the interception early in the game. Like Ira said, Somebody besides Shaq Barrett's got to be racking up sacks.
I don't think Bowles minds facing Teddy Bridgewater instead of Drew Brees. Not one.
I'm glad you brought that up, Sage. All right, you have been around. You're the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. You've covered the NFL for so long. What do you make of going around the locker room, defensive players saying, well, now it's Teddy Bridgewater. It's not Drew Brees. Well, it doesn't really matter. It's what we do. Oh, it's not that much different of a game plan. Even Arian saying, do you believe that?
You're talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer where a guy can stand up and say Drew Brees and sit down and there's no discussion and people check off his name. That's Drew Brees. I mean, he's a notch below Tom Brady, let's be honest. And he's got a history of carving up this team. Yeah. Even in the opener last week, you can't blame Drew Brees for losing when Ryan Fitzpatrick went crazy, but Brees was matching him strike for strike. Yeah. Bridgewater, it looks like he's a game manager. It looks like now he's more mobile. But
he's
not Lamar Jackson.
He's more mobile than Drew Brees?
I think so. I think so. Just from the 10-year age difference, too. Look, who do you worry about? You worry about Kamara. You worry about Michael Thomas. But Bridgewater doesn't get the ball to Michael Thomas like Drew Brees gets the ball to Michael Thomas. They got Jared Cooks, a decent tight end. Kamara's the guy, Lee. But considering the way the Bucs have swallowed up these running backs, it got to give the Bucs some confidence. Kamara's different.
If fans think I'm too negative and I was ragging on the defense and 517 yards by Goff and Lord knows how many completions, but that run defense, you got to be impressed. That's a murderer's row they're going through, and they're shutting these guys. I'm not talking about shutting them down, holding them to 80 yards. I'm talking about shutting them down.
Golston's doing well on the run defense. That's what he's there for, Ruck.
The narrative is, I saw this, NFL.com, they came out with their power rankings, and they had the Patriots at number one. They have the Saints back up at number three. They won against Seattle.
I think I put
Seattle.
Them at number three on the AP power rankings.
But listen, they won against Seattle with Bridgewater, but it was the defense.
Sure.
They beat the Cowboys. They forced three turnovers. Bridgewater is not doing much.
By the way, that Seattle game, they were killing Seattle. The final, don't go by the final score. Seattle scored a couple of cheap touchdowns in garbage time. Mm-hmm. They went into Seattle, which is very difficult to do, and they beat the hell out of the Seahawks. That was impressive, and they followed it up on Monday night.
All right, I got to ask you this. Now we've hit on the defense. What is going on with the running game? What is going on with the former USC? You're that much pumped up just being back there? I'm talking about Ronald Jones. You saw him in person. Sage, you're watching him. He looks like a different person.
It wasn't just the game at the Coliseum.
Okay, what's going on?
He's had three very good games and one game they didn't use him much at Carolina. When they've used him, he's been outstanding. He's averaging 4.7 yards.
Can you imagine the two penalties, too? What it would have been, Sage?
And the two penalties. Excellent point, Rock. Let's hasten to Adley, and I think you'd agree. The run blocking's been better in front of Ronald Jones. He got hit a lot behind the line of scrimmage. Lee and I debated that on a podcast a couple of months ago because Lee said, well, he was only hit 10 out of his 23 carries behind the line. I said, Lee, that's a big number. Lee goes, that's not so bad. That happens to most guys. I said, no, it don't. Lee, the run blocking is better, and he's a lot better.
Lee's not.
I wish
we were on video.
These guys yet.
Lee's not.
Everybody
yet.
And their brother Lee's are pumping these guys up like it's Gale Sayers and Walter Payton in the same backfield.
You've got to be impressed with what Ronald Jones is doing.
I'm impressed from where he came from last year. Then I'm impressed with. Does that mean he's a Pro Bowler? Does that mean you should start voting for him for the Hall of Fame? Come on.
No,
come
but on. Lee, that helps Jameis. That helps the passing game.
He's been about average. He's been about
look
it.
At Lee.
My idea good is a guy goes on
he's
the
tough.
Field
Lee is
and
tough.
He, you're scared to death he's going to put 150 on you. That's my idea of a good running back. He's not Eric Dickerson.
Gale Sayers is not walking through that door, Lee. You know that. You know that line.
If Lee was a high school chemistry professor, man, you got a 55 over there.
All right,
Rock.
Lee,
you got a
Sage, is he willing to give credit to the offensive line? I thought that was going to be the weak link.
Pass blocking, yeah.
But not run blocking. Okay.
He is tough.
I just have this weird idea that good running backs can avoid tackles. I mean, call me immature.
Well, Rock, I'll say this.
Naive.
I think you agree. All of a sudden, the play action is more effective because teams respect the running game a little bit more.
Yes. I'm also seeing the confidence in Jameis now a little bit more with this deep ball that he's getting some of these completions. You got Evans wide open. You hit him. He's loving Godwin. I just think that overall – with the protection. Little bit of a running game, Lee. Lee. That's helping with the play action overall. The offense. Do you know there are some that are saying that Evans and Godwin may be the best 1-2 punch wide receiver in all the NFL?
What if O.J. Howard gets on track, Lee?
That's the missing link. Where is O.J. Howard? That's the missing link. He gets on track. This offense could be unstoppable.
You know, Rock, the ascension of Godwin, which we've seen from year to year, the ascension of him,
yes,
I think
Lee,
it's
it is
causing,
ascension, Lee.
It's causing, not the descension, the ascension.
I know.
I think it's causing a real problem for opposing secondary coaches that would ordinarily say, I'm doubling Mike Evans, and that's what we're doing. We're going to take Mike Evans out. Godwin's playing at a Mike Evans level. Now, Lee, you don't want to give anybody credit. I think you'll give Godwin credit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, by the way, people bag on Jason Light and his draft picks, and there's some ammo there. But Godwin was a home run of a pick.
When's the last time the Bucs had a third-round pick
that did this well? Rondé? Was Rondé a third-round pick?
Yes, he was.
That's the last guy that I can think of, a third-round pick that has turned into a stud. Godwin's turned into a stud. And, oh, by the way, everybody cries, oh, Deshaun Jackson, they couldn't use it. They're better off with them. I've been saying that for months. Here we always thought that.
Sage, you thought that, right?
Lee's got a lot of information about what Deshaun Jackson did behind the scenes.
Will he ever bring it on the Ira Kaufman Sage podcast?
But Ira's famous prediction, the day Deshaun Jackson has introductory press conference, in this very room, Ira said, He will not see the end of his contract with the Bucs.
He will not see the third year.
Remember that. Well, I know what I'm going to see. I'm going to see some beautiful cars and trucks and Bill Curry Ford, the Ira Kaufman podcast. All of the Sage's work is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tell us, Sage.
Telling Rock the other day, Sunday night, but you were over there going visiting Curly's grave over there. But I stopped by Bill Curry Ford's showroom.
Oh, you did?
Just a little north of the stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, a Matt Gay field goal ahead of the stadium. what a beautiful showroom. I mean, the cars are fantastic, clean. They'll offer you anything, coffee, whatever you want to drink.
Did you fog up the windows of the Mustang?
And I saw concierge service. That's what I saw. And I wasn't even shopping that day. But I saw about 8 or 9 models that I could drive out of there tomorrow and be a very happy man. And Sean Sullivan was there. He was bummed out about the Giants game. He was bummed out. And he told me, I don't know if I'm going to watch the Rams. But I said, you're going to watch the Rams Bucks game. I hope he did, because that would lift his spirits. But he was down. He's a huge Bucks fan, as you know, Lee.
Yeah, if anybody wants to talk Bucks and they don't want to drink beer, go to Bill Curry Ford. Ask for Sean Sullivan. He will talk with you all afternoon about the Bucks.
He's a draft guru.
Yeah, I don't think there's a podcast out there that he doesn't listen to. He loves our podcast, obviously. This guy's one of the most well-informed Bucks fans you will ever meet. And in between you guys talking about next year's draft and Chris Godwin, ascension, you know, like a deity,
ascended.
He'll show you a Mustang.
And he wanted to be involved with Joe Bucks fan, and we're very happy it happened.
Shop now at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com.
And tell him Joe Bucks fan sent you.
Please do that.
And you get a deal.
JoeBucksFan.com.
He'll slip a deal to you if you mention Joe Bucks fan.
Awesome. All right, Sage, it's a 1 o'clock game. You will be on your worldwide tour, Buffalo Wild Wings. You will be parking your behind at Ybor City, Sage.
7th Avenue, my friend. 7th Avenue, that famous strip that goes right through the heart of Ybor City.
Nice.
It's not Saturday night, guys. You can dance the night away Saturday night.
Beautiful.
And then you sleep in till 10. You have a quick breakfast. Leave a little room for lunch at Buffalo Wild Wings. And we watch the game together with your friends, with your fellow Buckaholics. Now, Rock, do we have to make picks? Do we really have to make picks?
We do. But before we do that, the news is that it looks like Devin White is going to play. He was all smiles in the locker room. I don't know what to make of it, because you can't simulate game speed and game condition. I'm looking forward to seeing him. What do you think, Sage? What does this do?
I think it could be significant. Now, Lee is looking at me like I'm waiting for Devin White to make a play.
Thank you.
Which I understand. But I believe part of the reason, not the whole reason, part of the reason he was selected at number 5, much to the chagrin of Mr. Lee DeKemper,
yes,
ahead of Josh Allen.
Yes.
One of the reasons was Todd Bowles is thinking, we're in a division with McCaffrey, we're in a division with Devonta Freeman, and we're in a division with Alvin Kamara.
So if Devin White can play a decent portion of this game, I would like to see him matched up with Kamara on those swing passes, because that's a staple of the Sean Payton offense, and I don't care who's under center. That's not going to change, and White has the quickness. We'll see if he's got the technique and the smarts. But, Lee, he does have the speed to shadow Kamara a little bit on those flare passes. We'll see.
I hope the guy shows up. I really do. I mean, you know, people think, well, you're just saying this because you didn't want Devin White. I did not want Devin White. I'll say it to his face.
We're not going
to
make a judgment two games into a season on Devin White.
While I'm saying this,
hell, Vita Vea.
While I'm saying this, I hope the guy's a Hall of Famer. Once he's on the Bucks, number one, it's not fair to rag on the guy because you didn't want to draft him. He's on the team. He's here. That's number one. Number two, I always want the Bucks to succeed. So I want every player to be a Hall of Famer, because that means the Bucks will succeed. So I hope he succeeds. I just, right now, I got to be honest with you, I know he hasn't played much, but when he has played,
Small sample size, guys.
Very small. We could have said the same thing with Vita Vea and the calf and last year. Well, Look at how he has turned out, Lee.
He had a good excuse. He missed all the training camp virtually and all the preseason. So he had it. And about the fifth week of the season, he came on. White has been healthy throughout training camp, throughout preseason, and first couple games.
Minter's done a nice job. And by the way, the old Wiley vet next to Minter, Lavonte David.
Yes.
He's playing really good football. Really good.
He was asked about who was your favorite Saint. This is Devin White. And I remember this. Devin White goes, I really wasn't a Saints fan, even though he's in Louisiana. He goes, oh, it was Drew Brees and Lavonte David. Me! Say me! Like Lavonte David is feeling. I'm telling you, the atmosphere around here is light. We've gone through a whole Sage podcast without mentioning the kicker. Do we have to or no?
I think that might spell volumes over there. look, I'm the guy that says I got confidence in him hitting a 55-yarder, Lee. I've said it from the day they drafted him. But I've also said one other thing. I don't have a lot of confidence on him making a 38-yarder. And that's a problem.
Until he starts making it. Warren Sapp yesterday, he was on Rich Eisen's show.
He was also with the Buckaholics. Did you see this?
He made an appearance there. I saw it on social media, but I didn't see him.
But anyway, go right ahead.
I think I may have seen him at LAX when I was coming back. It looked like Sapp. Acted like Sapp.
It probably was Sapp.
If it was Sapp, I would have been able to hear him. I didn't hear him. But it looked like Sapp.
He was on Rich Eisen.
Yes.
He was on Rich Eisen. What did he say? And there's a couple things that are irritative about the Bucks. One of which is the defense. He's good with their getting pressure in his eyes, but he's horrified that they're racking up points the way they are. He basically said, will you quit trying to return kicks? They're giving you ball to 25. Kneel.
They don't have a good kick returner. They haven't had him.
That is something. You're right.
I don't know how long.
Sapp claims Jameis was set up with this pick six because it was an attempted return. They had the ball at the 10, I think, was it? And that basically set in motion for Jameis to throw a bad pass.
Well, just because you're deep in your own territory doesn't mean you have to throw a pick six.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought, too. But Sapp, he actually said, kneel.
Was he living in L.A. now or something? He's out in L.A.
They're giving you the ball in 25. Just kneel.
Sapp was probably there.
All right, Sage. All right, we got the 1 o'clock kickoff. It's in the dome. It's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. They have a very good defense. They have Kamara. They have Sean Payton. This is a rivalry game, as Lee has mentioned and wanting us to know in the past, and you were on with Doggy. They usually had in the past have not responded. Are you ready to give us your sage wisdom, your prediction? I'm feeling you're going to get this one right, Sage.
What do you see? All right. This is going to make the Kemper cringe. And I was just talking to a guy in the newsroom, and we all know him, and he really knows the Saints very well, better than all of us.
Yes.
And he said, Bucks have a real good chance to win this game. I'm going with the visitors. I'm going with the Bucks. If I'm going to be 0-5, so be it. I think the Bucks win this game. No breeze, no problem. Bucks go in there, more physical. The noise doesn't bother them. And the Bucks win this game 23-20. What say you, Mr. DeKemper?
Is what I want and what I think. What I want, we all know what
we
I want.
We want what
we
you
know
think.
That you
I want the Bucks to
we
pound.
We know that, right. But what do you think, Lee DeKemper?
Until they shake off this hex that they can't stack them up, they got to. I'm a burning bush kind of guy. Show me. Show me. Please show me. Please. I'm tired of covering a losing team. But until then.
Scores, Mr. DeKemper. Score.
2017 Saints.
We both have it close.
I will go with the Bucks 17-13. I think it's going to be a tight game. What does Bruce Arians say? They all come down in 5 minutes to go. And just under Arians, I'm believing. They're believing that they can win this thing.
And for those folks at home that are packed or listening in their cars or at work or wherever, fishing, whatever, and they're mad because I picked the Bucks to lose, please notice I'm 0-4 with Bucks games this year.
And I am too. And I've had so many people tell me, please keep picking the Bucks to lose. You're a heck of a jinx, Sage. And I disappointed everybody because I'm going with the visitors. Take that, Bill Curry Ford. What do you say, Rock?
I say it good. Anything to Lee. Lee, I know that you got injured covering the Bucks in Los Angeles. A knee. It was a suitcase problem.
No.
No, it wasn't a suitcase.
Staircase problem. Staircase problem. Long story. I didn't pull a
He was thinking about the breakfast buffet and he missed the last step.
That's pretty much what it was. I did not pull a Jenna Lane. Poor Jenna a couple years ago from Minnesota.
Yeah,
she blew out her knee at the stadium running down the stairs. Now, I had to run up and down the stairs of the Coliseum, not because I was exercising, but I had to get to the locker room. And only way he does it with no problem. Yeah, that I did with no problem. Okay. The only way to get to the locker room, you had to start about a third of the way up and go down the stairs like you're a regular fan. And once you got to the front row, you showed your pass and it'll kind of feel. No problem. Next day, an hour to go before my ride's picking me up. And I've got a 9-hour flight because I was on the same plane, but we did a milk route. And I was in a hurry and I went to
going down a spiral staircase.
Yeah, I go, where's this buffet you guys have? You know, not a Motel 6 buffet, but we're talking like a $35 job.
Yes.
And they said, it's downstairs on the 69th floor. The staircase is right here. And I'm in a hurry. I like the second last step, kaboom.
No.
I could barely walk. My knee was hurting, so I could barely walk.
No. That's what happens when you're thinking about a slab of bacon over there.
He got hurt going to the buffet.
That's the way we end this podcast.